differently today, God. I pray as what happened to Paul when the scales fell from his eyes, would the scales fall from our eyes in the light of your glory today, Lord. In the name of your son, Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm going to pull up my little Bible here, too. Nope, that's not it. It's there. Okay. Technology. Is it a help? Is it a hindrance? Yes. It's both. So, in any case, this morning I would love to talk to us all about the gift of repentance. I have a very dear friend who has just walked her neighbor across the bar. She's just graduated her to heaven. And for her, she really was in the role of chaplain, of comforter. It was a first for her. She's never had to walk anybody through death before. And it was a wonderful, well, it's not over. The time is not over, of course, but it's been a wonderful process for her because what she has been encountering is presence. She's one of the most present people I've ever met, but it is a new way of being present in the midst of somewhere where suddenly what I believe is being challenged. We believe for healing. We believe for resurrection. We've seen healing. We've seen God heal cancer. We know it to be true. So to stand in a place and alongside someone who's going through this, who's a mom who has a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old, and a husband who's just like, what do I do? And to stand. And that's all God asked her to do. God said, I am calling you here to stand. And she said, but Lord, I will call my girlfriends. We will come in and we will throw down in this emergency room. We will anoint everything. We will worship in the lobby. We will cry out. We will pray. And the Lord said, I want you to stand with this family. And so we as a company, we continued to pray and we felt the grace and the encouragement to speak life into their situation. Life, Lord, we're releasing life over her. We're releasing life through her. We're releasing life to her husband. We're releasing life to her children. We're releasing life in that room to the doctors and to the nurses. We will not stop declaring life, God. We will not stop declaring life. And so as my friend walked through, she kept going, you know what? I cannot believe how much I have to repent every day while I'm in there. Because this doesn't look like I want it to look. What I know to do, the tools God has enabled me to amass to this point, is to stand in faith and to declare life and to anoint and to pray and to worship. And God is telling me, shh, 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 shh. Your ministry is as the comforter. And she's like, but Lord, she's not dead yet. And the Lord's like, I am calling you to be the comforter. And so every day as her friend began to suffer more and more, and, you know, she'd say, come on, stay with me. God's with you. Pray with me. Pray with me. And she's like, just give me drugs. And how her anger would rise up because she's watching the theft of this woman's life. She's watching the enemy ravage her body in immense pain, and she wants to scream in that room. And all she can do is say, God is here. There is something that they taught us in my chaplain class, and it was that if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, then when people go, why is God allowing this? You say, I don't know, but I am here. And you are releasing the presence of I am in every situation, in every moment. And that empowered her to keep going. Lord, I want to scream with her. I want to cry. I want to grab her, and I want to save her, and I want to rescue her, and I want to rescue her and rescue her children. He's saying, stand and declare, I am here. And she just kept going, okay, I have to repent again, Lord. I have to turn again to the way I am insisting on seeing this. And it is the paradox of walking where God didn't say, give up, she's going to die. Although he did give peace. But in that moment, being present wasn't go to war with your words and your prayer. I am here, and your job is to just let me be here through you now. And over, she kept, I have to repent again. I find myself repenting 5, 6, 7 times a day as I watch her, as I watch her family suffer, as I watch people walk in and in abject fear, they don't know what to do, and they don't know they're standing there like this in the face of her pain. You know. And it's like, okay, come on in for a moment. Tell her you love her. That's all she needs. Okay, you're good. You're out. And to just be present and to change and say, okay, the I am is here. The I am is here. I don't know how to change this. I don't know how to change my fear. I don't know how to change my anger right now. And God wasn't requiring that of her. He wasn't requiring her to stop being afraid and to stop being angry. He said, I just want you to see differently. I want you to see me here now. Because that is what I need you to release here now. So that, when she was sharing that journey with me, it just stuck. Repentance. And I've been chewing on it now for about 3 weeks. I looked it up, you know, being a good student, put my Strong's Concordance on my phone. And there's two forms of the word repentance. And the core word is metanoeo. It's fun to say. Which does mean to think differently or to think afterwards, to reconsider. And it is from that that we get metanoia, which is the word most used in the New Testament, which is the compunction for guilt. You have missed it. You see, we will walk in what we know to do. And that is all God requires of us. You cannot do what you cannot do. And that's our greatest frustration, because like Paul said, you know, the things I know to do, I don't do, and the things I don't know to do, I do, and oh, this wretched man that I am. And we know what to do. We know what repentance should be. I know how to repent. I know how to come before the Lord and go, God, I've blown it. I have missed you. I am sinning against you. My heart is far from you. Forgive me. I know how to do that. We all do. We're really strong believers in this house. And for those of you who are new, boy, you know repentance is so fresh when you're new in the Lord. I mean, you, oh, Lord, I didn't think of you while I was tying my shoe. I'm so sorry. I mean, when you're brand new in the Lord, repentance is like, ah, it's the easiest thing in the world because you're so happy to be free. Yeah. But as we go along in the journey, we pick up stuff that we put in our bag. We pick up stuff. We pick up tools. We pick up revelations. All good. Oh, God, we pick up experiences, not always good, but God's always working in and through it. But we form mindsets through these times and these experiences, and we put stuff in our bag, and God says, okay, but now I want you to see me again. But Lord, I've been seeing you. I've actually been serving you. I'm doing this for you. Right. I loved what Pastor said about Saul last week. He changed Saul's vision, but he didn't change his path. Saul was fervent for God. He was fervent for the church. He did not understand how she was being transformed in that moment. When God grabbed him with his glory and blinded him to the way he saw. And that's what it takes. It takes the glory, because we can only see what we see. We cannot go and pull the chick out of the egg. It will die. That thing's got to sit there and painstakingly, with that little itty bitty tooth God put on its beak, for countless hours, pick, 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 pick at that shell. Because this is building strength. This is getting all the systems in that little chicken to be able to survive outside of that shell. Pick, 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 pick. And we are just like, I'm gonna let the chicken out. You're like, no, don't let the chicken out. Because the chicken needs the travail. It needs the labor of the process that gets everything working. And we are not built to see suffering. We are built to save it, to heal it, to change it. We are also built to endure it. But we're not built to watch it. We're not. We know wholeness. We know healing. We know salvation. We know deliverance. We are called to have that vision. Paul's vision was for holiness when he was Saul. He was for holiness. That is what he saw. We must keep the church pure to a holy God. He is holy. We must be holy. We cannot allow mixture. We cannot allow disease to come in and unpurify his bride, his girl, the apple of his eye. He saw holiness. He was 100% correct in that. But what he saw was his version. And so when the Lord interrupted his life, the first thing he did is he dealt with the issue. You are blind in what you see. He made him blind. God's always going to go after the thing, right? And it's always our gift. My gift is always going to be my Achilles heel, because it is the place that I am going to most easily function in the flesh. Because it was given to me by God. It was given to me for his purpose of glorifying him and releasing his kingdom, all that. But it is also my free money. So it is the easiest place for me to stop depending on the Lord. It is the easiest place for me to go, I got this. I got this. God's with me. I got this. I know what's right. Saul knew what was right. He knew it was his strength. If he were not created to be that vessel, we wouldn't have 2/3 of the New Testament. But he was crazy. But you have to be crazy to start Christianity. To release the teachings that we now have, you have got to be the person that God has designed to stand against all of that flowing against you. One of my favorite jokes, I've told it before, you know, the guy's in the jungle and all of a sudden he hears, And he turns around, there's a lion. Oh no! And he's running and he's running and he's running and he's like, dear God, would you please turn this lion into a Christian? And then he doesn't hear anything. And he stops and he turns around and he sees the lion down on one knee. Father, for the meal I'm about to partake of, I give you thanks. Well, what happened? The lion got saved. He's still a lion. Saul remained a lion. I look at Saul and I'm like, ooh, I know why you were single. I could not have lived with that intensity. God knows me. You know, and I'm just bringing some humanity to it all and some, you know, levity. Laugh, ha. But man, he was intense. He was intense. And I'm always apologizing to my husband. I'm like, I know I am hard to be married to. I am sorry. He is so full of grace. And so that's really good. I'm thankful. But Paul was an intense individual. And that was exactly what God wanted. God didn't want Saul to become a lamb. He made a lion because he wanted a lion. And we get thrown back when people come and they're like, rah, 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 and we're like, woo, that's a lot, that's a lot. And it's really hard for us to back up and go, Lord, praise you for that design. Praise you for that design. Okay, praise you for that design. I need to repent, God, because I don't know how to see this design. This design isn't according to my design. So it's like putting, you know, bright orange pillows in a restoration hardware household. It's like, okay, wow, that really stands out to me. I'm kind of liking it beige over here. I'm kind of liking it that real subtle blue. Wow. And so it hits our sensibilities. And it's like, I don't know how to see. I need to repent again, Lord. This morning, we were coming in, and the Lord was talking to me about something. And he said, I need you to pick that up again as worship. Cleaning my house. I'm like, oh, I don't like to clean my house. I get tired of telling my children to clean their house. So I stop. And I hope that they will get sick of the mess and they will do something about it. And they don't. And I'm like, shoot. This plan is not working. So this morning, rather than reprimanding me, which he did, because you know what? The compunction for guilt came in. The metanoia came in. I said, Lord, I'm not blessing my family by abdicating my authority. And that's what we do when we get tired. When we get tired, we abdicate our authority. And we just let it go. And he convicted me of that this morning. And he said, how about if you do it as worship? And I thought about that. And I'm like, and he doesn't mean, I need to clean my toilet bowl. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you for the toilet bowl. I am worshiping you. And you know what? It might look like that for somebody. But what he was speaking to my heart, because that's what repentance is. It is the gut to the heart that says, I am going to arrest you here at the core. And I'm going to say, turn and see differently. And so for him to tell me, I want you to treat not just cleaning your house, but instructing your children again without anger, without sarcasm, without I'm so tired of this, without all of that stuff, can you just worship me? Can you pick it up as worship? And can you come and can you bring this simple thing before me as worship again? Would you worship me here? Why? Why is that important? Not everybody needs to worship the Lord when they clean their house. I do right now. Why? Because I need to stop seeing the labor. I need to stop seeing the toil. I need to stop seeing the frustration. I need to stop being lazy. I need to stop being tired. It is all those things. And God's like, I don't care. Would you just look at me? That's all. Just look at me. Just change what you see by looking at me. I will change the rest. I can't unblind myself. I cannot pull myself out of the egg. I cannot pray a magic prayer and say, get me out. Here's all the right prayers. Here's all the right formulas. I've prayed. I've fasted. I'm doing all the right things. And none of those things are wrong. I can do all of those things and get free. I can do all of those things and still be stuck. Because they're not magic and God's not a butler. I love what Brian said about the offering today. God don't need your money. We know this. God needs you to have a heart that's free with your possessions. God is looking for a heart. That's all the Father wants. That's all our spouses want. That's all our children want. They want a heart. That's all our neighbors want. Do you see me? Am I worth something? And God is not needy in this way, except that he has allowed himself to be needy. God has allowed himself to need us. He doesn't. He's 100% sufficient within himself. He's the all-sufficient one. But he has given himself the gift of needing our fellowship, of needing our communion with him. I love, a couple of years ago, the Lord showed me communion in a whole different way, and you're probably already there, but it was news to me. And yes, when Jesus died, he bought back the planet. When he raised from the dead, when he shed his perfect sinless blood for us, he bought back what we gave away through the first Adam. He bought it back. He bought the whole planet back. But the plan of God wasn't our salvation. That was the door. The plan of God is come back to union with me. Come into union again with me. And that was a huge revelation for me. Because I know Jesus bought my salvation, so I could be with God forever. And I don't have to wait for heaven. I can have him now. He's living in me. He's alive and dwelling in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yes, all of those truths, which I don't want to discount or belittle, are absolutely true. But the act of Jesus on the cross was for unity, was for relationship. I need you. You fill me. You are my heart's desire. And now I have you back in union. We are one again. You were lost for that time, and I knew what was coming. I knew my son, he would die and he would bring you back to me. I knew, but oh, my heart ached for that gap. During that time, until his coming, my heart was waiting, waiting, waiting. Come into union with me. Communion. So it's got a whole nother level for me now. Intimacy is a big challenge for me. All the stuff back here, all the nature, you're kind of born pre-wired. Paul was really pre-wired. You can see his nature regardless of his nurture. Okay? You know, and all the things in life that come and cause you as a child to see things differently and to see things not quite right makes intimacy a big challenge for me. And of course, what do you know? That's the one thing God wants, right? It's the one thing my husband desires. It's the one thing my children desire. It's the one thing I wrestle with the most. Come be here. A friend showed up yesterday. She goes, I'm reading the birth order book again. And it's just so funny because she's a firstborn and I'm a baby. And another friend of ours is staying with us and he's an evangelist and he's the baby boy in his family. And she's like, you know, the babies are all about, look at me. Because I need to be seen because I'm the last one and everybody's busy and tired and they have moved on. So I need you to see me. So hi, I'm the baby. I'm here. I'm important. She's like, so those are all your evangelists. Those are all your people out there. They're like, look at me and see the Lord. And now millions of you come to Jesus. And I'm cracking up. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so true. Now, again, this is not concrete, black and white, all things. It's just, you know, a way of looking at things. And she's like, yeah, and then there's the firstborns. And we're like, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It can be better. It's not good enough. My sister, who's the firstborn, was in a seminar, and they were talking about performance mentality. And she's like, I don't have performance issues because I don't really care what anybody else has to say. I'm going to do what God's telling me to say, and that's what I'm going to do, and I don't really care. And the Lord said, yeah, you perform for you. And she's like, oh. And my girlfriend, who's standing there, the firstborn, she goes, absolutely. Nothing is ever good enough because the bar is always higher, and you'll get to the bar. No, it's higher. And so here's our makeup. Here's our design. God makes us this way. It's very frustrating at times. It's very, most of the times, Marilyn says. It can be confusing. Until we do, again, as Brian was saying this morning, we start giving thanks. I cannot teach you how to repent. Repentance is an issue of the heart. I cannot access your heart. I'm having trouble accessing my own heart. My parents died. God is now bringing up a bunch of unforgiveness. Oh, that's fine. And because as the baby, I got to make everybody okay. Everybody's fine. And he's like, I'm going to deal with this. I'm like, I'm fine. He's like, no, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. And my friend was talking to me about a book that says, Do Not Forgive Too Soon. It's a book. She's a counselor. She's like, you need to read this book. And the point of it is she was explaining it to me, which is what the Lord is showing me. Is there's two ways that we are to walk, and one is to walk positionally according to the truth. I know that I am forgiven. I know I have no right to hold anyone else in unforgiveness. No one else is any better. I am a sinner among sinners. There is no, you know, fairy tale about who I am at the core without Christ. I am a poster child for Jesus. You're looking at somebody who needs him desperately. But I also know that in him I'm whole. And because of who I am in him, I cannot hold anyone legally in unforgiveness. I can't. So positionally, I forgive. Does it mean I feel better now? Sometimes. Sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes that is the moment. You grant the forgiveness, and suddenly repentance comes, and you see everything differently. You're free. And sometimes you forgive, and you're still frustrated. And the Lord's like, that's okay. I am here. See me. I'm allowing the blindness because I need to get to the heart. Another word that came up for me this week in doing Latin was courage, core, heart. Courage doesn't mean I'm gonna just be brave and fight what's opposing me. It means for the heart to take strength. That's what courage is. For my heart to be strengthened. But my heart can't be strengthened if I'm saying, my heart is fine, my heart is fine, my heart is fine. And so the Lord goes, okay, we're gonna get you nice and tight and uncomfortable right here. And all the things you know to do to get out of that place, they're not going to work right now. here I am and here you are. Just be here.
Oh, but that requires presence.
I would much rather go clean a toilet. Because you know how I feel about cleaning toilets, right? But I would rather clean the toilet than be uncomfortable about staying right here where I'm uncomfortable. Do you know how those things come up? You're like, I hate doing that. But you know what? Today I love doing that. I would so much rather love doing this if I don't have to do that. Come be, sit here now. See me. And stay here until you do. Stay here until you do it. I love the movie Hitch, where, you know, he's getting ready to go out and dance. The guy's going to go dance, and Hitch comes in, and he's like, you know, make the pizza, make the pizza. And Hitch is like, they don't need pizza. They got pizza. You just keep it right here. And he's like, oh, look, I can do this dance, and I can do this dance, and I can be really groovy. And Hitch is like, no. You keep it right here. And I just feel the Lord is telling me that. He's like, they don't need pizza. They don't need amazing worship. Your children don't even need to learn science and math. I will take care of that. I just need you right here. And today, all I really want is for you to start seeing the thing you don't want to do is worship. It may not change for a time. It may not change for a while. Nothing about your circumstances may change. But I will change you in that. I will come and I will blind you with my glory. And I will remove the scales from your eyes because you cannot do what you don't know to do. It is a gift of God. It is his kindness that draws us to repentance, to a place of turning, to a place of turning away. Sam, let's go to Acts chapter 20. Verse 21. And after that, we're going to go to Hebrews. While he's pulling that up, I pulled a section from Pastor's sermon last week, and he said, so we've got mindset troubles, shifting our thoughts. We have prejudice. We have fear issues. We have preconceived notions. God told Ananias, I need you to go pray for Saul. And he's like, he kills people. People like me. He's bad man. No go. And so his fear came up. His prejudice came up. Was it sufficiently backed with experience? Why, yes. Yes. He had a reason to believe what he believed. But see, our prejudice, our fear issues, our preconceived notions are going to be challenged. And thank God that when we're challenged, that's where repentance comes. Repentance comes before a conversion. Conversion comes before the blotting out of sins. The blotting out of sins comes before refreshing. See, we've got to turn, but we all get stuck. Well, and conversion brings salvation, and salvation leads us to inheritance. Now, the inheritance already existed, but I can't possess what I don't know how to possess. I can't possess what I don't have the capacity to possess. So God has got to get me. He's got to interrupt me in my sin, in where I cannot see. He's got to interrupt me there. And the only way he can interrupt me is by challenging me. And so as I'm challenged, then I go, oh, this is wrong. I need to see new. And I turn. And as I turn, I'm changed. I'm converted. As I'm converted, I realize I am forgiven. And salvation and inheritance is granted. So we all get stuck, and every one of us, in order to go to the next place God has from us, and this is funny, I don't think he even realized he said this, has to have a reboot from the very root all the way to the new fruit. That was a good word. We have to have a reboot from the very root all the way to the new fruit. And that's what we saw Saul going through. So in Acts 20, verse 21, Paul's giving his testimony, and he talks about, I'm testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot turn unless I'm going to believe in what I'm turning towards. And I must always turn towards God. Repentance must always be coupled with faith. You see, I'm here in the presence of my unforgiveness and my frustration because I don't yet have the faith for whatever that pain is that I'm waiting for it to actually reveal itself so that I can have the faith to let it go. What keeps us so often in bondage is our right. I have a right to this pain. I have a right to insist that my children do this. I have a right to feel this way about that. I have a right. Well, sure you do. Sort of, not really, at all, not. All my rights died on the cross. But until the quickening, the cutting of my heart comes to that thing that I'm holding on to as my right, I can't let it go. I don't know how. I don't know how until I'm cut to the heart. But here is what I do know. Sam, I'm going to skip to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 18. I'll start reading slowly. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 18. Therefore, since we have such hope in God, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel couldn't look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is only taken away in Jesus Christ. I must see him. I was blind, but now I see. What do I see? Jesus. Well, what does that mean? You know, my kids are like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, Jesus is the answer. They're like, right, what does that mean? I'm like, keep asking him until it comes. I must see, because the only thing that takes the veil away is Christ Jesus. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. And here's verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Friends, the veil doesn't get taken away till I turn. Now, yeah, different sermon, not going there. Okay, the veil doesn't get taken away until I turn. I cannot turn until I am arrested in the place I am. And I see this is not working. Why is it not working? I can fix it. I can fix it. I can fix it. I know what to do. I have all the tools. My sister yelled at me yesterday. Oh, stop it with all your psychology tools. Okay. Just because I know how to fix it doesn't mean I can. Because I cannot do what only Jesus Christ can do. I can only lead you, and I can only lead me to Jesus. And when I allow him to arrest me and blind me with his glory, which means I am laying all this down because I don't know how to change it, I don't know how to fix it, and I am being honest to be present and say, the I am is here, and I'm going to be here with him, and I'm going to bring my heart, and I'm going to let you cut me to the heart, but I don't know what that means, and I can't make you do it, and I can't speed up the process. All I know is I can just stay here, and I'm just going to look until I can't see anymore, until all I see is you. Because you will turn me, and the veil will be taken away. I am turning to you, Lord. Only you can take away the veil that's on my heart. Only you can take away the veil that's on my eyes. You have arrested me, and now I am going to turn. Not to a solution, not to a tool. I'm going to turn to the Word. and I'm going to bury myself here until it comes alive, and I'm going to bury myself here. And I might wander away because I get tired and I get antsy and I don't like being in a tight, sweaty place. But I'm going to keep coming back because you're in me and it's what I want. I want to be free. I don't know how to set myself free except to come and turn to you. The gift of repentance is God's kindness. And so would you just stand with me, and I just want to pray over you all today. Because I feel that's just really all the Lord wants to have us chew on right now. It was so beautiful Wednesday night to just watch person after person going, God's calling me right now to be baptized again, to be washed again, to start anew, to declare that I am dying to everything before this moment. And it was not coerced. There was nobody pushing anybody, you know. It was the Holy Spirit leading, and we had every generation in that tub. We had Abraham, we had Isaac, and we had Jacob in that tub that night. And that's this house. God is not leaving any one of us. We celebrate FHI. We rejoice in the interns coming up. We want to launch you. We want to breathe under you. We want to breathe and kick you and say, go! We want beast mode to rise up and come on, charge. We want the next generation to be released. But I need the Abraham and the Isaac generation to know this does not mean you are discounted. In this new covenant, you are not done. You start anew in the Lord, renewed and revived. It doesn't have to look like FHI or beast mode. Hallelujah. Okay? He gives them the energy to run like that. Our job is going to be to run differently. But no one's done. No one is done. Repent from where you are stuck. Turn to Him. Okay? So let's, if I could just invite you to come, even now, even if you're in such a great place with the Lord and you're flowing and you're like, oh, everything is good. I am in God's pocket. We are flowing together. I don't feel any convictions. Hallelujah. I bless you in that. Don't make up something. Okay? Just come honestly and say, here I am again today. I am turning to you again in this moment. Is there something I need to see? Is there something I'm missing? Because I don't want to dilute your kingdom. I don't want to settle, and I've settled. I've gotten comfortable. I like comfort. I like it. It feels comfortable. But I don't want to live there, God, if I am hindering your flow, if I am hindering your kingdom through me. Lord, right now we come and we stand before you by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for the precious blood. It is only by the blood we come, but we have the blood, and so we come boldly, boldly into your throne room. Abba! Abba, we worship you, and we give you thanks. We give you praise, for you are good, and your word is true, and your love is everlasting. Abba, we turn to you right now by your grace. Arrest us here, and we turn to see you with all the self will and the self-control that you have given to me. I come and I intentionally turn to you, the one true God, the everlasting Father, and Jesus, my King, my Savior, my intercessor. Thank you. Thank you that you have been praying your guts out for me to stop and come and be here and look to Abba. And now I come. And Holy Spirit, thank you for the support and the surrounding me, that you come and you breathe life over me and you surround me and you hold me and you say, you will be okay in the presence of God. So Lord, we turn to you with all that we have and all that we don't know. And we surrender again. Help us to see you. Help us to see you. Help us to see Jesus. That we may come again into unity. That we may receive your vision for where we are. That we would lay down the limitations. We would lay down the expectations. We would lay down our rights and our demands of how we need it to look. And we would see only you. And we would see only you, Lord. We come, we offer ourselves now. We want to see you. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our hearts. Open our hearts. Cut our hearts so you can heal our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Do what only you can do. Have your way. We repent. What a gift. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of repentance. Thank you. We can turn. Thank you. You've given us. You've made a way, Jesus. You've made a path, a highway of holiness for us to come and turn and to see what only you can have us see, God. Open our eyes. Remove the scales from our eyes, from our hearts. Heal and breathe life again, again in your people. Revive us, O Lord. Revive us, O Lord. Burn again in us, God. Hallelujah. Do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Amen.